Support for New Retina Radio comes from Genentech, the makers of Vabysmo, faricimab SVOA. Are you ready to get started with Vabysmo? Our dedicated reimbursement team is here to support you every step of the way. Get in touch now at vabysmo-hcp.com/access-information.
Welcome to the New Retina Radio Journal Club with VBS. My name is Lidiana Goduni. I'm in practice at Retina Associates of Cleveland. I'm joined today by two of my colleagues. First, Dr. Joshua Yeer from Retinal and Ophthalmic Consultants in Northfield, New Jersey. Josh, welcome.
Hi, Lidiana. Thanks for having me.
And Dr. Matt Starr from the Mayo Clinic. Matt, welcome.
Hey, Lidiana. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, today we're discussing a paper entitled Impact of Foveal Status and Timing of Surgery on Visual Outcomes in Rhegmatogenous Retinal Detachment. The first author of this paper is Zeeshan Hawk, and this paper was published online in Retina in August of 2023. And Matt is going to summarize this paper for us.
Yeah, thanks, Lidiana. This is sub-analysis of the PRO database, with Zeeshan as a primary author and Brian as a senior author. This is a database, I think, with a lot of rich metrics and options for papers. I'd say it's nice to have just a basic understanding of what is the PRO database. And so the PRO database was a collection of six sites across the country, two in the Twin Cities, was it St. Louis, Philly, Boston, and Detroit. And what they did is they took all retinal detachments, primary retinal detachments, not recurrent detachments or exudative or correctional or infectious at each of those sites, and then collected all of the data prospectively for that year. From 2015 to 2016, and they looked at over 250 variables for each patient. So that was it's a massive data set, and they had over 2,600 patients with some data. I don't think it was all complete. And I think when they get to each of these sub-analyses, they kind of whittle it down to 1,500 to 2,000 eyes, which is still a very impressive thing to do for a surgical study, a surgical retinal study. And so this sub-analysis was looking at about 1,600 eyes with data, and they looked at that fovea status, specifically fovea on, fovea off, or fovea split, and looked at the vision outcomes and timing to surgery. And so what they found when you looked at it, the fovea on versus fovea split cases actually didn't have any difference in visual acuity as well as the time into surgery. However, when you looked at the patients that were fovea off, those patients had worse visual acuity outcomes. And so when you kind of teased apart that group separately and just only examined the fovea off patients, it depends when you took those patients to surgery and the vision that they, and the final vision. And so when the patients that had surgery two or more days later, compared to those that had surgery with one day, the patients who had surgery longer or waited longer to have surgery had worse visual acuity. And so these authors concluded you want to minimize the time to retinal detachment repair for these acute fovea off cases when feasible.
That was a great summary of a dense paper. So thank you very much, Matt. And Josh, I'd like to ask you for a quick reaction to this paper.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. I felt on some level, this is actually, even though it kind of challenges this conventional wisdom that macula off or fovea off detachment should go to surgery within a week, on some level, I thought this was actually very intuitive and makes a lot of sense and probably mirrors what a lot of us have noticed in practice, which is that these patients do better if you operate on them earlier. Specifically, I'm talking about the fovea off group. And that just makes sense because the longer the fovea is detached, the more starved it is for oxygen and nutrients from the RPE. And so the visual potential declines over time, even though the classic teaching is, well, it's already off, it can wait a week. I think what's more surprising is that they're saying that fovea on and fovea splitting detachments, that we actually have a little bit more wiggle room for those than we classically think of. You know, I strive, and I think many people do, to do those cases within 24 hours. But these authors are saying that we can actually wait a little bit longer. They didn't find any negative visual effects or negative outcomes if, you know, if the patients waited several days for surgery. And in fact, I think the rate of progression of the fovea, if it was fovea on or foveal splitting at presentation, was only like 7%. So lower, I think, than probably what many of us would have expected.
Yeah, I think the comment on, you know, some of the literature they've looked at was about 0.5% at 3.7%. And they found it was about 7.9%, so almost 8% of patients progressed. I mean, it's not a lot, but I mean, it's almost 10%. And yeah, I have maybe a different take on it. They kind of had that argument in there, like, oh, perhaps some of these cases can wait a little bit. And I agree, like every now and then I'll, you know, maybe delay some of them with, you know, bilateral patching, or it's like an inferior mech on, like I know it's chronic, you know, it's a young patient. You know, some of those, I think there's definitely some situations. I think it's a little bit tricky to say, you know, an acute mech on patient can wait a couple of days. I don't know if this data really supports that. They claim that there's really no difference in vision, but I think when you kind of piece it out, acute fovea off patients still had worse vision than the patients who had fovea on preoperatively when they had surgery within a day. So if you think about it, those patients are now fovea off for a day. I'm doing some tricky analyses. They don't really give you a head-to-head comparison, but when you kind of tease apart their data, it really doesn't, I don't think, support that.
Yeah. Yeah, those are valid points. I mean, we all know not all MAC on RDs are the same. And like Pat said, you know, certain ones, you know, perhaps could wait. They have more chronic features. But then also, you know, importantly in this paper, all the fovea on and fovea splitting patients had a pretty quick time to surgery. And it was in that time that they measured the conversion to the fovea being off. But that was very fast, right? So we don't know what it would be if you waited longer, to Matt's point. So I think those are both excellent points. And just another extra question for Josh. Do you think there's any other endpoints or preoperative conditions that the authors could have perhaps considered in addition to what Matt has already mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think you and Matt both hit on this already. Which is that some fovea on and splitting detachments can wait and others probably cannot. So the authors do give anatomical data for the detachments for the three subgroups, you know, fovea on, splitting, or off. But 80% of the fovea on and splitting patients had surgery within a day, which means 20% did not. And I'd be really curious to know what the anatomy of the detachments were for those 20%. You know, there might be a selection bias there. Maybe those were patients who, as Matt already said, had inferior or somewhat chronic detachments, and those are clearly safer to wait. So, you know, we don't have that data. We don't know what the exam was in those patients that were delayed, and so we have to be a little bit careful in interpreting this and applying it to our own practices, because you know, there could be features of that 20% that made them more likely to not progress or to have good visual outcomes, even if they had surgery 2 or 3 days later.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, additional data on those patients would be very valuable. So we'll take a quick break now, and we'll be right back for a more in-depth discussion of this paper.
Support for New Retina Radio comes from Genentech, the makers of Vabysmo, faricimab SVOA. Are you ready to get started with Vabysmo? Our dedicated reimbursement team is here to support you every step of the way. Get in touch now at vabysmo-hcp.com/access-information.
Welcome back to the New Retina Radio Journal Club with VBS. I'm joined by Dr. Joshua Yeur and Dr. Matt Starr, and we're discussing a paper regarding the fovea status of retinal detachments and outcomes after surgery. Josh, I'd like to ask you, what factors do you think might delay a patient from having retinal detachment repair surgery in real life and in your practice?
Yeah, so Really, there's a whole host of things. Some of them are systems issues, like OR availability. I operate at a general hospital, so I can add things emergently, but some people only operate at ASCs, and their OR availability is much more limited. Patient factors, what's their health like? Rarely, I see a patient that's, you know, very ill and has a lot of comorbidities, and may not even be able to have surgery, or at a minimum, they need, you know, clearance from their primary care doctor, occasionally a cardiologist. So those things take time to get. I've had cases where a patient doesn't have a ride, or they live far from the surgery center, and that's a challenge. And then, you know, some of the things we've already talked about, like the anatomy of the detachment, you know, not all detachments, as we all know, are the same, and some are safer to wait a little bit. You know, a macula on inferior detachment with clear features of chronicity doesn't need to go the next day, you know, whereas someone who's got a new fovea on superior detachment and is rapidly losing vision, that's clearly more emergent. So all kinds of patient factors and systems factors play a role into this.
Yeah, those are great points. I mean, even though the surgery is, you know, outpatient, lots of patient health factors, and, you know, patients need a ride, like you said. So that's actually, I feel like, a little harder than inpatient surgery, where you could drop off the patient. But these patients need someone to take them and bring them back. So it's like a whole day for their caregiver. So that's a great point. Matt, anything else to add?
No, I mean, those are all great points. It's pretty uncommon that I have to delay someone for, you know, a systemic reason. But it, you know, that's the biggest reason, I think, nowadays. Besides if it's, you know, someone who lost vision 2 months ago or something, and I'm just like, okay, we'll get to this within a week, or, you know, sometimes even longer. And I think generally this paper, along with a lot of other papers, you know, there's a big Stanford one, you know, those have really shown that you should try to get to some of these detachments within a few days. You know, acute mac off, like, yeah, I think for the most part, you know, the paradigm is starting to shift. We're still lacking a really good prospective, you know, study, but I think we're now, you're that's never going to happen. Maybe it's such a hard thing to do, but, you know, all we can do is look at, you know, good retrospective studies, and this is, you know, adding to that growing body of evidence to support, you know, trying to get to some of these eyes sooner.
Yeah, that's a really great point. You know, like you said, more and more evidence suggests that the sooner that the fovea is reattached, the better the vision. Well, what do you guys think in terms of kind of changing the culture from a hospital standpoint, like in terms of getting these cases in early? I don't know how much pushback you get. Let's say if you're trying to add on a mac fovea off RD and you want to do the surgery within, you know, 2 days, ideally, or 3 days. Do you often get bumped by other cases, or what's your experience like operating in hospitals?
You know, I'm sure Matt's experience is different from mine, just being at different types of medical centers, but I operate at like a general community hospital. So it is easy to add cases on, but that doesn't mean they're going to go exactly when you want them to. So, you know, rarely late at night. Certainly we get bumped by other services, you know, neurosurgery, OB-GYN, that kind of thing. But I can always get it on for the day that I want it on. So I think I'm lucky to be able to do that, because, you know, as I said, there's a lot of people who practice in environments where they can't do that. You know, if you're operating exclusively in ASC, you may not be able to add a case on the weekend or after hours.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, in my situation, I can usually get a case on during the day. You know, I can share it with one of my partners, not a problem, but we can add it on. But unfortunately, we split call with like the pediatrics team. And so, you know, if it's, you know, at night or on a weekend, you know, I can't say, you know, the kid's got to wait, you know, I can't do that. And so we always get bumped for something like that. So it still happens in academic medicine, too.
Yeah, so it sounds like both of you are getting cases added on with, you know, appropriate timing. Or it sounds like most of your cases occur when you'd like them. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the case. That's the case for me. You know, I'm able to add these things on quickly.
Okay, yeah. And let's say a patient comes in to see you on a Saturday morning, and, you know, if you don't have availability or the opportunity to operate over the weekend, the patient is going to be waiting at least 48 hours for surgery. So what kind of discussion do do you have with that patient? And I'll go to Matt first.
No, that's a great, you know, great point. I think these authors are trying to conclude that they may be able to wait. I think the data they provide doesn't really support that statement. I think if you can't get a patient and let's say you want to do in a day, and so it's Saturday, you got into a Saturday or Sunday, you can't. I think they do discuss some of the things in there that can be done. You know, my group actually, a lot of my senior partners will do bilateral patching, and they've actually, that's a really great way. But you have to really do it. And I think that's a really great technique. And your patients have to buy in. They can't be kind of on their phone patch. I've heard of patients doing that. You've got to really have both eyes occluded, no movement. And sometimes, I think Greg Kukami, I even posted some case series of patients reattaching and then doing LIO with no surgery. And that kind of stuff is, pretty wild to me. I think, those things are great ways to buy you time. Another option, some physicians will throw a bubble in, protect the macula, make a position for a day. I think there's a European study that was published not too long ago, I think within the past year, about this, we're going to throw a bubble in for a weekend or delay whenever we get you to surgery if the operating room is tough to get into. That's always a solution too. I personally, if I, for whatever reason, can't do it, would just buy a loaded patch for 24, 48 hours.
Yeah. What about you, Josh?
That's interesting. I've never patched patients bilaterally. I'm just curious to hear from Matt how patients tolerate that.
I think my favorite was hearing about the patient who was on their phone in the waiting area bilaterally patched. I think that's how it goes most of the time. But I think when they do it appropriately, and you've got to really be on them, they can't see anything, they can't have, you really can't be looking at them. And I have seen it work. I think it's a great technique. Like I said before, some people at some of these meetings are presenting some really nice photos of, when patients appropriately patch and, they position appropriately. They're using the supine position, not really moving, and it works pretty well.
Great point. Like Jar said, I haven't done that either. I'm pretty lucky to either have a wartime or my partner, somebody's always operating. But when you do the bilateral patching, Matt, how many minutes per hour are they doing it constantly? What do you recommend?
Constantly. Yeah.
Constantly. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
impressive. Yeah. I don't know if
that is impressive. And do you utilize a pneumatic, just a bubble?
I don't really utilize it. I think this is something that my senior partners have done. I think maybe the fellows have done. One of my patients, as we didn't want to do it. The next day we did it in 2 days or something. I think for me, I'd rather just do a pneumatic or, maybe a pneumatic. I know it's not going to go real well, but if I could protect the macula. But for the most part, like you guys said, let's take him to the operating room. I think we all three have the luxury of getting in, and I think that's what we prefer. But yeah, if you're ever in that, for whatever situation, I think those are some options you can do if you can't get into an operating room.
Yeah, that's a great point. And what about you, Josh? How often are you utilizing a bubble to protect the fovea while waiting for OR time?
I actually have not done that. I'll do a pneumatic if they're a good pneumatic candidate. I think it's a great procedure. You can avoid surgery and you can intervene on them quicker than you could even if you're planning to go to the OR, right? Because you do it right at that moment. So if they're a good pneumatic candidate, I love doing that, but I haven't put in a bubble just to protect the macula. I've had situations where people re-detach where they have gas in the eye or oil in the eye. And so, the urgency is, you still want to take them to the OR, but you can position them face down to protect the macula until you can get into the OR.
Yeah. Well, those are all really great points. Thank you guys both so much for being here and discussing this paper. And thank you to the audience for listening to New Retina Radio Journal Club with PBS. And stay tuned for further episodes as we discuss more interesting topics.